About young everyone, this is Professor Amin Ra, Professor Emeritus, California State University of Long Beach, former City Councilman for the City of Compton, and former Compton College Board of Trustees, as well as Compton Unified School District Board of Trustees. My co-host, we hope, will be joining us later, Mr. Historian, we call him Historian Joe Hembrick, longtime educator for Compton Unified and Linwood Unified School District, where he was the first African American head black coach, varsity head coach for Linwood Unified School District. We want to welcome each and every one of you to the Conscious Corner. And we want to thank Brother Rashiki Mascani for providing us critical space on his platform of CEN, Community Education Network. And really hope that you will tune in on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Second, I want to welcome our other person as a longtime supporter and participant and analyst for our show, Brother Mashenda, and he's out of Louisiana, and he'll be and making comments on what is being said. We want to discuss today the apathy and the various forms of challenges we face as African Americans. We start out is that what purpose do we have as a people? What is our primary purpose as African-American people for living? Not just being, but what is your purpose in life? And, you know, we've evolved from savagery to various stages of life to get to civilization and to move from instinct to rationale. What I mean by that is the first people just responded like animals, and then they moved in as they got more and more understanding of who they were and what their capabilities is. They began to build families, and then that turned into communities, that turned into civilization. And they began to focus on, as they got more prosperous, rather than just go out and gather food, they became sophisticated enough to produce it from the agricultural standpoint and hunting standpoint. And as they got an abundance of this food, they begin to become security. And as they begin to barter with other ethnic groups that was in their environment, as far as trade, they began to develop the commercialization of their products, may it be art, may it be food, may it be other tools, artifacts that other groups wanted. And then that became the medium of exchange. But above all, the main question is that death is starts when you're born. What we call the quest for immortality starts when you're born, because you don't know when you're going to die. In most cases, unless you commit suicide. And homicide is when someone else kills you. Suicide is when you kill yourself. And genocide is when others impose destruction of you, not only as a physical being, but as a cultural being, and just wipe you off the planet and everything that you represented as a culture. So we're here now, and we're dealing with you know, longevity in life. You know, it emerges from 15 all the way up to what we have today, 70 and 80 years old, and sometimes longer. And that's due to medicine, innovation, education, nutrition, and exercise, and understanding of how to get longevity in life. But just living is not just the answer. The answer is, the fundamental answer is, in the short time we're here, what are some of the primary purposes of us as a people? Reproduction, you know, be fruitful and replenish the earth in scripture is one way of looking at it. But the other way is that the whole physiology of us as human, we have what is called sexual drive. And the whole purpose of sexual drives is to reproduce, not to freak off and not to hang from chandeliers or use drugs, but reproduction. Second, that the whole purpose of the reward for that sexual activity is the orgasm. Orgasm is just not to make you feel happy and like you completed something, but it is a part of the life that's a reward for reproduction. The whole purpose of sex is reproduction. But some people exploit it and abuse it. Some people market it, and some people abuse it. Some people are rapists. Some people are just sexually, abusive with minors or with other ways in which they enjoy themselves. And that's all humans and animals. You see contradictions in their behavior. Or I don't know if it's contradiction, but it's people, they say different strokes for different folks. And sometimes you have laws against certain activity, even though it may be a natural activity to you to be attracted to things other than the opposite sex or things other than, bestiality type of sex and pain and choking people and doing all that type of stuff and ripping people. There's all type of stuff going on, but the whole purpose of sex is nature's reward or the divine creator reward for reproduction. And this is according to most science and the whole books on sexuality and mating and relationships. But the point is that what is our, what, people create purposes for life. All purposes in life were created by cultural dynamics or social interaction or parental guidance and things of this nature, or biblical guidance, or some guidance you just think up on your own. Diversity of human beings. But is there a specific purpose that we see other people need to live for? You know why you're living. You should know what your purpose is. But how do you determine and educate others, your children, school students, young people that admire you, mentorship? What do you think their purpose in life is? And so we're going to go around and see what people think about that, because there's so many dynamics that have evolved since humans been on the planet. Political systems, economic systems, social relationship systems, health systems. As I say, the political systems and just moral and ethical systems that we employ from the standpoint of opening up our minds and opening up our understanding of who we are as human beings. And so, I don't know, Mashinda, do you have any comments on that narrative? Are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, good evening. Well, to me that's kind of a broad situation there, broad question, but in general, I would say that a philosopher told me one time that reason why we're here is to know God, and I took a long, deep look at that, and I said that that's pretty deep. The reason why we're here on the planet. I mean, what I interpret from that, my in brief, is that, I believe there's a perfect way to be in life, although we fall short. You mentioned scripture and biblical and things like that. I think they try to touch on things like that, but that's not really the perspective that I'm coming from. Not to say that they don't include some of the teachings and understandings about it, but like, what is God? Who is God? And of course, we've had these discussions, over the years. Biblically, they talk about you an image of God and things like that. Well, I don't think we've had any, too much disagreement about that, as far as, people say we are God, we are of God, we're not the big G, we're little G. So I think in this quest for learning our purpose and who we are, unfortunately, you know, all of us have been, were born into this world, you know, way before maybe perfection existed. And so we're playing the hand that we're dealt. You talked about your superfly days, Professor Ra, you know, and things like that. And we all talk about, Brother Rasaki talked about how we were wild, acting like wild animals sometime when we were kids and things like that. So we have these learned behaviors that we come into this world, and whatever the belief systems and different practices and habits and so forth and rituals, it's passed on to us, and so we kind of become products of our environment, and so therefore we may lose sight of what the ultimate purpose is, you know, and we just get caught up in the everyday lifestyles and rat race of what be going on in our daily lives. And so, but when one, I think, sits back and try to become conscious and understand some things, you know, in my perspective, I think that, you know, learning about God, learning our capabilities, you know, we have God force in us. We, you know, it's it could be synonymous. Like I say, I don't like to, you know, start any debates about religion or anything like that. That's just, you know, I make my comments, but at the end of the day, you know, I know for a fact for myself that we have capabilities that we don't know about, things that we see evidence in the past, you know, things that have taken place. And, you know, whether it's, you know, I guess the pyramids, you know, the mathematics and the things that go into building and a lot of the other things that we've discussed on this show, the expertise that has been discussed, Imhotep, you know, world's first doctor, and so forth. You know, what happened to that level of operation, that level of thinking, that level of consciousness? And so since we come in, we're Johnny come latelys into the game of life, you know, we so I think that, you know, I can't speak for everybody, but I, you know, I've been on these podcasts for a good while now. And I think, you know, you would probably disagree that, you know, we all have been in pursuit of knowledge and understanding of, you know, our existence and who we are. And, you know, so at the end of the day, I think our purpose is a lifelong strategy, a lifelong pursuit to understanding. But I think as we delve into the past, you know, and understand history, you know, we can understand, you know, what's happening now and what's going to happen in the future, per se. So I like to think that, you know, but our purpose, you know, is greater than a lot of things that we partake in on a regular basis. We live in a capitalistic society, or you can live in a communistic society or different societies and things like that, right or wrong or indifferent. You know, at the end of the day, I think love supersedes, supersedes all of it. You know, if we all have love for one another, you know, if we're in pursuit of love and happiness and all those positive things, then, you know, hey, we can make it what we want to make. You know, we can make what we want it to become. You know, we have the power to build and to create, you know, whatever we want that's going to benefit the masses and the people, you know, that kind of thing. But there's so malicious, so much malicious hate and evilness and contrary people in the world, that these are so that's the enemy. And so we're spending our time fighting enemies and things like that. It's a constant struggle. It's a warfare situation. And we've been born into it. And so therefore, you know, but the ultimate purpose is to get back to that point, that height of love, you know, where it all started, you know, that they, you know, that bring, because under that would bring peace, happiness, and all the other adjectives or, you know, descriptions of, you know, our, you know, our emotional being and things like that, you know. But, you know, going to a job every day and trying to get to Disneyland and, you know, do this and that, You know, I mean, those are just things that we're taught. And so I guess so our purpose is to try to erase or try to eradicate that level of thinking and try to get back to the core of what's real and so forth. But so that's kind of like my little introductory answer. You know, I don't have a one size fit all. You know, I just that's I'm giving you, you know, off the top of my, you know, off the top how I feel, you know. So but anyway, I'm done with that for right now.
Good. You know, you raised some critical issues, though, deep thinking and courageous suggestions and perspective. When we say God made us in the image and likeness, was that not was that a way of saying respect all humans, or was that a way of saying that you got the same power that I have?
Well, that, you know, of course, it's a given. I think that we have to, we have to be exemplary of respect. Mm-hmm. But of course, you're going to be, you know, they're the ones that will disrespect you, you know. So I try to stay out of that space of disrespect, you know, away from that kind of negativity. But far as God goes, I use that as a, you know, that's a word that we've been using all of our lives. You know, but I think it's an internal and external force that's within us that propels us to higher ground, you know. And, you know, a lot of different religions have different names, you know, and things like that. But at the end of the day, you know, it's all about, you know, taking your game to another level. I believe in spiritual, you know, I have a spirit, you know, therefore. It's kind of like when you're hungry, you get physiological pangs, hunger pangs, and your body lets you know biologically that you're hungry. Your spirit allows you to it allows you to recognize and discern other things on other levels. You know, it's another realm, and a lot of us won't ever tap into that due to the congestion and chaos that we're subjected to on a regular basis. To where we will never be, we're not able to tap into that, to unleash, you know, our power to discern and to create greatness, to create, you know, powerful situations in a positive light for ourselves, our families, our people around us, and things like that. So, you know, kind of like on a metaphysical level, to where you're able to actually make change on a spiritual level, you know. And now, again, that's just my take on it. And I think that a lot of that has been lost for a long time. And so we're, you know, like, that's why we live in the kind of chaos that's before us today. You know, I just tend to understand where I'm at. Therefore, I don't let it affect me to certain degrees because of the fact that, you know, I look at it from a different perspective. You know, I look at it, you know, that, you know, like we kind of live in dimensions, and, you know, and I think that there's a way to separate your energy from that negative energy at the same time, have impact on those situations, you know? So again, I'm just giving you right off the top of my head, you know, but it's a lot more to that, but that's, you know, how I feel right now.
Okay. You know, almost all civilizations, philosophies, and concepts of life were created by people. And some people argue that gods don't create people. People create gods, and they create their interpretations of God and the creator. Oh, how do you answer a person that believes that most of the value systems that we have, even from our parents, from the schools we went to, were just ways in which you try to better people living with each other and or better you, help you be a better person?
Well, you know.
Oh, that's creative. I mean, there are people, yeah, that give their kids guns and say, hey, man, somebody mess with you, shoot them, right? There are people that do different things, but some of our parents, they now go to school, get a job, take care of your family. But is there more to life than that perspective, from the standpoint of you reaching a higher level of consciousness and understanding that, like Joe Henrich talked about how he began knowledgeable of a property at an early age. So he got a couple places of property, he got not 100 units and nothing like that, but he owned a couple of houses, some inherited from his parents, some he invested in. But the point is that, all of those are part of the systems that were created for people. Even the value of property was created by systems. I mean, that's why you have appraisals and sales and people striving toward economic investments to better themselves. But at the same time, all those were created systems. You wouldn't have a system if you didn't if people didn't create these systems. And when it comes to nature, interpretation of nature, is it natural to, and I hear you saying, well, we have innate feelings or interpersonal dynamics that drives us from a spiritual standpoint to understand physical pain and emotional and spiritual pain. And so, but at the same time, we are, ideas and philosophies are created by people, and religion is a philosophy. That's all it is. It's about stories. And you try to bring them down to earthly interpretations and practices. So my question to you is that how do we as parents, what do we tell our or educate our children or our loved ones as to how to be and where did we get it from? Is it natural to want peace and love and natural to want to live in a life in an environment of peace and love? Or is that something that we brought upon ourselves and decided that's what I wanted versus, to me, running the streets, chasing women ain't chaos. That's something I enjoy doing, using drugs, that's something I enjoy doing. It ain't chaos to me, but to people who don't do it, that's chaos. That's bad decisions. That's something I wouldn't do. So I think it's wrong. How you reconcile that with the environment? See, there's two psychological perspectives: environmental and hereditary, that influence behavior. Some psychologists believe that our understanding of life and who we are as a people is hereditary. 90% of our learning capacity and intelligence come from inheritance. And then there's environmental, who say that we learn from the environment. I haven't think we learn from both, but they have a separations, and they separate the two. And that's why evolution is different from creativity. But how do you respond to your children about their purpose in life if they ever ask you or if you try to instill it in them?
Well, that's another deep question. I mean, again, they're just the next generation that's brought into the same situation that we were brought into. So hopefully some of us will be on conscious on another level to where, again, I don't think none of us are perfect and none of us gonna have answers, the ultimate answers. We don't have the ultimate answers. I mean, they may be before us, but my point is, being able to tell, my son or tell, a nephew or a niece or somebody about what's real and what's not, I only can give them my perspective up until this point. So, now whether it's, is it the ultimate truth? Is it man-made or is it spiritual? Is it natural or whatever? I mean, we are predisposed to certain things that, and we take on certain things that are passed on from our families, our parents, and things like that. It's just like diseases or anything. Some people say, well, You know, they ask you, did your father have high blood pressure? Or if you this one had, I might say, well, you know, it could be if you look at what your parents ate and then look at what you eat, it might be something by, you know, something, you know, their diet may have an effect on certain things. So again, I'm not a medical doctor or anything like that, but at the end of the day, in challenges that we have on a regular basis, my primary goal is to play the hand that I'm dealt, regardless. And what I'm going to tell my people that I'm charged with is to how to survive this chaos or this life or however we want to define it. Like you say, one man's chaos might be another man's, you know, great experience or whatever. But the thing is, you know, all I can do is just, like you say, pass on information the best way I could. I mean, again, I'm not, I don't profess to know it all. And but we're living, it's like a war situation. And I know that they're shooting over there. And we're trying to get to the bottom of this in our conversation, like, you know, what's real and who started what and how do we know that this is God? Those are great discussions to talk about, and as we pursue those questions. But in the meantime, they're over there shooting. So my goal is to say, you know what? They're down there shooting. They got real bullets. Don't go down that street. Okay. The way this situation is set up, you know what? Learn how to grow your own food. Like, get you some land. You know, get you some whatever you eat, some chickens, some cows, or whatever you're gonna do, and try to be have your own farm, and so you can survive, so you don't have to depend on anybody, or go get you a job so you can have some money, so you can keep your, you know, you can keep some lights on, and you'll be able to see and do some things, whatever. So, in other words, we're in survival mode. We come into this life in survival mode, and we are dealt a hand now. Some people don't partake in it at all. You got monks who travel up the mountain and go stay up there and hum for, you know, 30, 40 days at a time and war, you know, and don't and be totally out the loop, you know. So you know, there are different people on the planet that are approaching this situation the way they see fit, you know. But I get up and go to work every morning because this is what I was taught in my household. And then not only that, in order for me to be able to feed my family and things like that, I've learned that, hey, if I go to work, I'll be able to get some money, and then I'll be able to, you know, get some food and keep food on the table. So basic survival is part of, you know, this hand that we were dealt. And so that's where, you know, but again, above that, you know, it's great to pursue the knowledge and understanding, but in the midst of the war, you still got to survive, you know. So I don't know. It's just a broad question. I got a broad answer, and but what do I tell my people? As you have to survive this life. There's different levels of foolishness that's going on at the elementary school level and the junior high school level and the high school level. So you have to reach each level. And what do you tell them? Well, they're born into their own chaos. You know, there's peer pressures. Now we're competing with social media, another enemy that has come into our life. It doesn't have to be used as an enemy because there's some positive things you can do with social media. But at the end of the day, it's a lot of things are weaponized. And therefore, you know, so I'm just saying, we in this little town, man, you've had several murders in the last couple of years. It's unbelievable. And then you find out why. Well, because he said this or he did that. It's just ridiculous, you know. So, but it's a low-level mindset. So how do you contend with that? So I tell my family not to, hey, look at this is the game they're playing out there. And, you know, try to educate them and stay away from a lower level of thinking. And then as we pursue higher levels of thinking, but there's a level for everybody. You can do the low level thing or you can go pursue the high level thing. So I am, for the last so many years, I've been trying to produce a higher, you know, try to pursue a higher level of thinking to where I can survive this life, you know? And so the life that I'm dealt, you know, the surround. Now, what are my goals and aspirations? That's a whole nother thing, you know? I've started a little garden and I'm growing some vegetables and things like that for the first time, and producing a lot of fruit, you know, on the vines and on the in the buckets and things like that. So, hey, I'm on to something. So next, you know, I look forward to the fall season where I grow some greens and some other stuff, and, you know, and then pass that on to the younger ones. Hey, start your little garden, you know, like Brother Hembrick talks about, you know, what he does and things like that. You know, that's some real talk, you know. So we're just talking about survival. You know, we're playing the hand that we're dealt. And I think if we talk about the Black Panthers or Malcolm X or Martin Luther King, they were born in the same world and they playing the hand they're dealt. They recognize, man, this stuff is racist. They're over there tripping. We need to do this and we need to do that. And so they pursue the war. They go into the struggle and they try to make positive change. And so on a global level, a national and global level, you know, same thing, recognizing that there's evil. So I believe there's good and evil, like yin and yang. There's good and evil. And so whatever side of the road you walk on, hey, that's what you do. I'm trying to be on the other side. I'm trying to be a good guy, you know, to the best of my ability. Have I always been a good guy? I don't know, but I know in my heart, you know, that it's, you know, like Brother Hembrick talk about my eye and the weighing of the feather. Hey, I like to think that my heart is weighed in on the good side, you know, because, you know, I try to do what's right, but I ain't perfect. But at the end of the day, I'm saying I try to pass those values on to the people that I come in contact, whoever they are. And that's all I can do. You know, if I had a magic wand or something like that, I'd flip the script on everything. But that's you know, and maybe we have the potential to have magic wands somewhere, but we don't know it. We don't know the formula. We don't know the actual how to make that happen. So in the meantime, I'm in a rat race just like everybody else, you know, no better than anybody, just trying to be a positive motivator in the process.
That's beautiful, man. I'll come back later because I got some commentary on a lot of things you said that is consistent with what you said, you know. But what about you, Rashi Key?
Man, I'm sitting here listening and a lot of things that Brother Machinda said, you know, we grew up, he's known me my whole life, and we've been in close contact all of our lives. So I kind of, you know, learn. I learned from my environment, and I'm looking at it, looking at the question you asked, you know, what are we here for? And what are we here to do? And all this and that. And I've been pursuing information since the day I met you, Professor Ra. Mm-hmm. And you've been very instrumental in the things I have done and accomplished. So I look to surround myself. This is why this platform was created, because of the Black Studies program at Long Beach State, the, you know, the close relationship we had for years. Mm-hmm. In education, it's a few things I would say. We're here to survive until we can. And then through your reproduction, you know, you teach your offsprings the same thing that you've learned to survive and dwell and be the best person that you could be. I have a math background, so I always look to mathematics and logic base a lot of my thoughts and decisions. And a lot of things that Brother Machinda mentioned, we then contemplated and talked about it for years. So we're in the same line. I've been to many different educational events that feature you, Professor Ron, other Black men that gives logical reasons for doing things and logical reasons for being educated, you know, and then I haven't, you know, I have encountered Neely Fuller Jr., Kamal Cambon just passed on. And these brothers are in the same arena as you, Professor Ra, Brother Mashinda, you know, and that when you get in this a part of company, then you really start learning about what we really need to be doing and what we continue to do. And you definitely have to learn. You were saying a few things, Professor Ra, about, you know, the psychological, looking at things psychologically and what the psychological field says. See, I kind of take all of what I learned and put it in my own words. You know, I would say we learn from our environment. You know, we've been shaped by our environment. And I also came up with a term, if I think I came up with it, I call us metamorphosis type beings, because through nature, we take on each other. Any environment we're on, we're in constant exchange of morphing. You know, like when we're dealing with plants is taking on your carbon dioxide, you're taking on the oxygen. So we're becoming, you know, we're becoming each other. And so it's nature, logic, mathematics. These are the things that gives you the purpose and reason for living. And you just, you have to figure some things out. And I think when you look to those things, you can figure things out on a basic level versus a more complex level. And I think complexity is a tool for confusion. So if you, in mathematics, you can simplify things, and that's the type of thinking I have. And so that's just a few things I wanted to say. I could say more, but just a few things I wanted to say.
You know, and both, appreciate what both of you said, if I understand correctly. You know, this is a challenge. When I came up, my parents ripped me. Little stuff I did, they believed in brutality, you know, punishment, corporal punishment, you know, and that's the way they were raised. But I still went out there and did different things I shouldn't have been doing. And they tried to tell you the right thing. They take you to church when you're young, or they preach to you, don't get in trouble. You can get killed or go to jail, but that didn't matter. You understand? Because the peer pressure, association pressure, the thrill of doing things and getting away with it, the pleasure of enjoying the fruits of your labor, you know, you steal some candy and you enjoy eating it. You steal a bike and you enjoy riding it. You steal a car and you enjoy driving it. That's why they call it joyriding. And so, you know, you go through metaphors, as Rashki was saying, that when you get older, you can either teach that to your children or teach them what not to do based on your learning experience and what happened to the people that was in your universe. Because sometimes the world is just how you see it. It's your world. It's your world. And sometimes you can't see the world the way others see it. Survival is a good term, but development is better. The oldest, as we had taught in Kawida and Dr. Karenga coined the term, the oldest surviving entity on this planet is a cockroach. It's been here since the beginning, most scientists, anthropologists say. But look how it survived. You know, crawling on his belly and eating what others leave or throw down, or devouring little insects under them. Nobody want to live like that. Everything that Mashinda, you, me do is for development, not just surviving. You know, you go into economic ventures, you go into intellectual attainment, you go into things that you think will make you better. Other people in their world, I'm gonna be the best thief I can be. I'm gonna be the best dope dealer I can be. I'm a narcotic dealer. I'm gonna be the best con artist. I'm gonna be the best womanizer. I'm gonna be the best. And that's their world. That's how they see life until they change themselves. It's hard to change people and attitudes and their understanding of how they see the world. Why most criminals say the only thing I'm guilty of is getting caught because that's how they see the world. And it's a dog-eat-dog world, you know. People see life that way. We've grown to see it different. But we're individuals because we know there are people out there, as Machine was saying, with different agendas. And they see life as, I'm going to take what you got if I have to kill you or maim you or hurt you. I'm going to wait for you at the Versatile or check cash in place, and I'm going to take what you earn. And they don't feel guilty about it. Or I'm going to deal drugs to people, and they don't feel guilty about it. It's just economic supplement to them. You know, this is how they make their money. I'm going to steal catalytic converters off people's cars that they paid for, and not knowing if they have insurance or not. And I don't, I got away with it, so it's good. The only thing I'm guilty of when I get caught is getting caught. But if I get out, I'm going to do it again, because that's how I see the world. It's a dog-eat-dog world. That's why we try to provide for our families, so that they don't have to go out and steal and rob to eat. There's plenty of food at the house. There's plenty of, you can give them money to go get their fun food if they want something, want pizza, this thing, this nature. You work hard to be able to provide them and guide them through your generosity as a parent, because all parents don't have to be generous. But at the same time, your whole goal is to teach them and provide for them where they don't have to do things and see the world as a place that is war or culturally conflicted. And so values are very important, ethics are very important, but you know, we look at life, you try to give your children, you try to develop purpose and a sense of direction. And most of us on this podcast have those things. We have our own purpose, and we have our own sense of direction. I'm pretty sure Mashinda have a goal and objections, and I mean, not objections, but goals and perspectives that he wants to pursue. And you too, Rashaki, goals and things of this nature. And each individual do it. Some have goals that don't affect you, and some have goals that do affect you indirectly. You know, you live in a neighborhood, and the people down the street don't monitor their children or don't teach them to have values, so they start burglarizing the neighborhood or doing things that they shouldn't be doing. And you see it, you know, walking around with no shirt on, at an early age, and walking around, and just no guidance, you need to get an education, you need to get be a better person, or things of this nature. And the same thing with spirituality. You know, there are a lot of people. I mean, a couple of ministers just got sentenced to prison. One had to resign from his church for behaviors he did years ago, and caught up with him. And others just created fraud. So people see that and they say, wow, he's a church person. I ain't going to church and give them my money so they can, you know, steal or misrepresent their medium. I mean, we've had a lot of ministers ran out of the church and mosques for corruption. The point is that we have to. We don't have to. But we create our universe. And our universe is the people around us, the environment we see and create for ourselves. And we try to improve that. There's no need in you going out and being around people that don't see the world the way you see it. And that's why you compare notes and try to get to know people to find out how they understand the world. Somebody want to marry your daughter, you want to meet the person. You want to, your son, you want to meet the one, find out what their values are. And then give your kids their best advice. You know, sometimes they make wrong choices because of whatever reason. Not because you didn't teach them to make better choices, but the value of how they see that person is different from how you see them, based upon your benchmarks of how you see your children as far as them developing a family and longevity. Some women think they can be with a man and help him change or take care of him, and he become dependent on them, and so therefore that will make him make better. But it don't go that way. But in many instances. So my point is that life is an evolving thing. And as Rashi Ki said, both environmental and intellectual and spiritual. Some people move by faith. Faith is the decision maker when emotions and intelligence clash. You can make things based on your intelligence. And you find out that it doesn't work, and you can make decisions like, well, I love them anyway. You know, and you're emotional. You're too emotional, and you can be too intellectual. I don't want nobody that's never been arrested. Well, you're leaving out a lot of people. I don't want nobody that's not a virgin. You're leaving out a lot of women. I don't want nobody that don't have a job and don't. And to have education, you're leaving out a lot of people. I don't want no man that have to have a labor job. I want somebody that is make money different ways, intellectually, through sports, entertainment, or singing. But the point is that that's all part of our individual universe and individual worlds to a certain degree. You don't have to see it that way. But you look at how many people on the planet and how they see life different from you and how they understand life different from you. You're not putting judgment on nobody. You understand? You're putting judgment on yourself, how you want to be. And so you can make changes for yourself, but you can't change people. They got to want to change. Even your own children and your spouse got to want to change. You can be an example of the change that you wish they would change too. But that don't mean they're going to change. And that's the same thing with death. You can eat all the vegetables you want, exercise on you want. Your life expectancy is just the same as people that you see old people homeless and eating what they out of trash can. And they live longer than people that took care of themselves, because death is unpredictable. People healthy follow out with heart attack, with low blood pressure. People that exercise, die in the exercise room. People that are spiritual, they've had heart attacks in church. So, life is very confusing if you don't sometimes understand the broadness and the generality of life. Life expectancy today is way longer than it was in 15, 16, 1300, especially for us as Black people under the Holocaust of enslavement. And because we are here, and even on the continent, you have a woman that's 115 years old that I just read about. I posted it on my Facebook. But the point is that, and they live different lives. What life are we living? A life, and you do good so that your children hopefully will follow. Some women measure the man they want by their father. And some women, some men measure the woman they want by their mother and how their mother treated them and their daddy. They learn from their environment, as Rasha Q would say. And some just create and don't care. You know, I just want somebody. I don't care what they do, what they don't. I just need some company to get old with, hopefully. And they take chances, chance after chance. And but my point is that we have no control over that. Only thing we can do is live the best that we can live comfortably and as much as we can help others through changing structures to help them see life in a better way than what they're living. So you take on them goals and as much into it, create some challenging perspectives. That you know, I only can do what I can do, which is right. You know, you can't question that. But at the same time, you do right for yourself because it makes you feel good. Even giving money to the vulnerable, even helping the vulnerable, because that makes you feel good, even if they don't appreciate it. People don't have to be nice to people. People don't have to care about other people. Some people want to just live and live, let others live and live comfortably. Some people want to dominate. And you try not to be a victim of any people that think they're doing a noble cause because they believe it, that the only way to rule is through strength. Empower and weaken your opposition or people with a different perspective. Here, a communist fighting Democrat, a democracy. And the democracy is an hypocrisy in many ways because it's only for a certain group that the controllers of the democracy apply it to. You know, and then at the same time in a monarch, Chrissy, I choose who's going to make it and who's not going to make it, and who's going to be punished and who's not going to be punished, even if they're good people. I vilify them for not being what I want them to be. You know, dictators dictate. They don't let you just free flow. You got to believe in this. Or you die, or you are enemy of monarchs. So we're in a struggle. We're in a constant struggle and constant challenge throughout life. You know, but our world is what we make it. And so that's why I took the scripture part of what does God mean? Being good, adding another O before the D. Good is to bring joy and peace and love to your world, respecting all humans and respecting their right to have a difference of opinions because you have the power to get away from it. You know, very few of us are going to be caught up in a place where people shooting heroin, and very few of us are going to be coming out of prostitute house or massage house because we got families and we don't want to bring them home. And you don't want to be with strangers. And so it's a challenge. I think that what we've done this evening is some deep, deep thinking and critical questioning about our purpose. And it's what you learn, what you are able to construct, both ideologically, philosophically, and in practice. And you try to be that. Like, I have no liquor in my house, no drugs, no liquor. So a lot of my relatives don't come here Well, there ain't no beers, there ain't no liquor, and my children grew up around that. Where as my mother thought, the mother drank, so her kids start drinking. One of them can't stop. The others don't. My mother and father smoke. We don't smoke. I don't smoke, but I lost two brothers, a brother and a sister, behind smoking. It depends on your self-discipline, as Rashi P would say, and your ability to find out what's really going on with, you know, reading that cigarettes causes cancer. Even though that information didn't come out right away. And certain foods causes cancer. Now you can control what you eat. You can't control it. It's going to make you live longer. But you can control that by eating that, there's a possibility that you can get an incurable disease. So life is, as the machine would say, the cards you dealt with. But at the same time, you don't have to play them. You know, you do not have to play them as you get older. All of us changed as we got older, as both of y'all have said. You know, growing up, you know, we didn't know, but we constructed what we thought was right within ourselves and what we thought would make us better people, not just for us, but for our family. Getting an education, and many people that schooled for fools, you understand? But we didn't just go to education and learn. We wanted to improve our employment capability. And getting more money, we can make a better life for ourselves and our family. But this has been a good discussion. I really thank y'all for the deep thinking and the deep perspectives that you came up with, because they were very instrumental in helping me understand myself better as a person, and see that we all have different, unique perspectives of life. Rashi P, what's happening tomorrow?
Right. Thanks a lot for this evening, Professor Ra. And I would say we need to look for understanding about why we're here, and it definitely went there this evening. And I, you know, and Brother Mashinda, he said a lot of good things, and Professor Ra, you already know, you are master teacher. Mm-hmm. Well, let me show everybody what's going on tomorrow. I'm just show you. All right. If you go to the website on the homepage, tomorrow is Juneteenth. So we have the executive director of the World Beat Center in downtown San Diego, Catedral Cheetah. Very nice venue that I've been to before. And she has a lot of good, I know, reggae artists coming through there. And then also she has programs for children, and it's a cultural space. So on Sunday, there's a Juneteenth celebration for children or for the youth. And that's on the 23rd from 12 to 4 p.m. They're going to have different workshops, and they're going to talk about some things that's going to be spoke about tomorrow evening, which is codes of freedom. So it's going to be very interesting and historical, and I'm looking forward to it. And it's open to the public. Anybody want to come, we have tomorrow.
Well, let me just say this. Happy Juneteenth. But you know, I know that General Gavin, when he came into Texas, he wasn't coming to tell the blacks they were free. He was coming to tell white folks to let them go. But they changed it around as if we were so ignorant, so dumb, that we didn't know that we were free. We knew it, but we were still held in captivity. But that, it's just like saying Christopher Wallace took the first bullet. Maybe his master was hiding behind him. You understand how, like, I'm gonna take a bullet for the slave, for my slave master. That only makes sense. But, they twist things around. And I'm just saying, have a happy Juneteenth, because it's a holiday. And it's a day in which some people out of Texas wanted to make it a national holiday. But it should be a day of protest and a day to struggle for reparations, not just a barbecue, red soda pop, and people running around at carnivals or picnics and things. It's a day to work with groups that are fighting for our reparations. And even those in Texas, they wouldn't allow to practice their freedom once it was declared slavery was over. They should get that reparations plus more. So anyway, and Bashar, happy belated Father's Day. So Juneteenth is tomorrow, but happy belated Father's Day. I hope y'all had a good Father's Day. Yeah.
Father's Day is every day. Thanks, Professor Rock.
That's right.
And this is why we exist right now in this on this platform, because of the miseducation. Professor Ra, Brother Kwavena, Dr. Charles Alexander, Brother Mashinda, and other people that come on here, we dispel the miseducation about things like Juneteenth, because they have you thinking that it's another way, which is propaganda, and it's not. It's like Professor Rod say, don't let your oppressor be your teacher. Because they're going to tell you something to make you think otherwise and the way you should be thinking. So thanks for that, Professor Ra.
Right.
And people need to hear that. Yeah. So we're going to say each one, teach one in Conscious Corner. See you tomorrow evening.
All right.